is that it's important to acknowledge these emotions, these difficult things, to give them time and space, kind of asking them where they want to go. What is the purpose of them? Mm-hmm. Because some of our bad feelings, they pop up as a way to warn us. Some of them pop up because they're undealt with. But it's important to not attach to them, to kind of look at them objectively.
Hey, and welcome to another episode of Pure Happy Healthy. My name is Leandra Haupt. I work as a model, I'm a techno lover and a 90s fashion enthusiast. And I work as a hypnotherapist and life coach. Through my work and this podcast, I want to bring more connection, happiness and health into this world. Hi, and welcome to another episode today with Kirsten and Amanda from Wellness on the Farm. The two of them are meditation and Reiki practitioners, and they founded Wellness on the Farm, which is actually a true farm where they offer healing modalities like their Reiki, their meditation, but also therapy with horses and private women's circles and sharing circles and all the good stuff. And they also have a podcast called The Struggle is Real, where I was a guest before, so definitely check that out. And as both of them have so many different interests and they're involved in so many different healing modalities, we speak quite about a few of them, and they take us in with them and explain what all of this is and how they deal with it. But what really I got as the core message from this conversation is that healing can look nasty and healing can be a very difficult process, and we all need healing. And through our own storytelling and through accepting others in their healing, in their very individual journey, we make it so much more open and accessible for everyone. So both of them really try with all of their work to make it inclusive and make healing open and accessible for everyone. Because with healing, the world can look so, so, so much better. And we all have our wounds. We all have the wounds that we want to heal. And sometimes it feels very challenging to open up yourself and share all these stories that maybe are not so glamorous from our life, or maybe even cry and sob and just let it all out. That there are some inner blockages for a lot of people. So both of them really work for a more open world, to share, to include everyone with their story, and just to be open with who you are. So this episode is so, so beautiful, and I cannot wait to share it with you. Both of them are really in tune with their answers, even though it's two people and I've never interviewed two people before. It's just such a pleasure to listen to it, and I wish you so much fun and enjoy this episode. As usual, subscribe to my channel and please leave me a 5-star review. That helps so much growing the podcast and getting these important interviews in even more ears. And share it with a friend who could need this conversation maybe, or who could really benefit from this. So without further ado, let's get started to this podcast interview. Yeah, I'm super excited because the first time in my podcast year, I have two people in the interview, Kirsten and Amanda, who created together Wellness on the Farm, which we will find out more about in just a second. But before we get started, hi and welcome, first of all.
Hi.
Hi. Thanks so much for having us. We're looking forward to chatting with you more today.
Yes, me too. And my first question is always, what did you have for breakfast this morning?
I had some cereal with raisins. Actually, I was completely forgetting to eat breakfast as I was running out the door.
Oh, that sounds good. I actually love raisins.
Yeah.
They're delicious. I similarly forgot to have breakfast until almost it was too late. So I was in the middle of putting together a bagel with like a cheese, like cold pack cheddar cheese thing, right as Kristen got here this morning. So I quickly scarfed down some bagel for breakfast.
Sounds delicious. Yeah, it's funny how people forget breakfast for me, because that's something I wake up and I'm immediately so hungry. It's always such a riddle for me how people can forget to have breakfast.
I don't normally it's like very, I'm like, it's like part of my routine, and I it's very important in my day. But this morning I woke up with an idea in my head. And so I got up and was writing things down and then got distracted, and here we are.
So good. Well, then if it flows, you have to give it the space. I agree. Would you like to introduce yourselves a little bit? Who is Kristen and Amanda, and what are you together but also alone up to at the moment?
Okay.
Ooh.
Who goes first?
I don't know. Okay. Kristen can go first.
All right. So I'm Kristen, and I am a passionate meditator. It's been something that's been really important in my life. And I have 4 rescued horses that I spend a majority of my time with. And yeah, I'd say that pretty much sums me
it's
up.
Kristen in a bubble.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So I'm Amanda. I'm a whole lot of things wrapped up into one. I'm a meditator. I love exploring new things. I would say I'm like a passionate learner. I always love diving into new things, exploring and getting to try out new things. I've got a couple of horses as well, and a cute kitty at home.
Yeah.
And yeah, I don't know. That's kind of us in a bubble.
Yeah, but together we formed Wellness on the Farm, and this is something that's been in existence for the last year and a half,
almost two years.
And so basically what had happened is that separately, Amanda and I had both gone through some pretty extreme traumas that had kind of been life-changing. And there was a moment for both of us where we knew that we needed to start healing. And so we kind of did this healing very separately for a while. And it was actually one of the horses that Amanda has originally was my horse that was given to me by a horse rescue because he was too traumatized for them to do anything with. So I started his rehabilitation. And then Amanda needed a companion for one of her horses. And so I gave her Chester, this little horse. And it brought us together as friends a lot closer. And then we both kind of had this moment of realizing that as much as our healing had been happening separately, that it would be so much more powerful if we started to open up our healing practice to include each other and start healing together. Because I think for a long time, we'd both been trying to hold everything in and all of the work that we were doing, and then realized that if we started to open that up, if we started to meditate together, if we started to talk, if we started to explore alternative modalities together, that it would be so much more powerful, and that could be like actually healing. Yeah.
So we kind of started out meditating on the farm together, actually the farm where Kristen has her horses, and we were exploring meditation together and with them. And it was they were such beautiful experiences meditating with the horses. And we got to a point where we started to realize that we would kind of like to open up our circle for healing just from us to start including some other people in the community.
Yeah.
And also realize that like we found meditating with horses to be so powerful that we knew it would be a beautiful experience for others as well. So we kind of opened it up and said we were up for having a few people in the community that were interested kind of coming and joining us. And it sort of grew and exploded from there in ways that we never could have anticipated.
We kind of thought that maybe one or two of our friends would want to join us. And then it started to be that people were then asking if they could bring their friends. So it went from a few people to 10 people to 20 people to 30 people. And it became way too big for us to be able to maintain on the farm. There's just people everywhere. And it was so beautiful. But we had this moment where we thought, okay, I guess that's what it was. And it was beautiful. But it's done. It's over now. It's getting cold. We don't have enough space on the farm. I guess that's it. I guess we're done. And we kind of surrendered to the plan of the universe and said, okay, like, I guess that's it. And the universe said, no, thank you. And very quickly we met a woman who has a gorgeous space that her husband had built on their property that's specifically for sort of meditations and yoga and healing. And she invited us to start working out of that space. So we did. And our community kind of continued to grow. And kind of two things happened. We realized that there was a huge need for non-judgmental, for open, warm, comfortable, accessible, and accepting wellness and spirituality. There was kind of this gap in the community. And we also realized that we were doing so much healing ourselves by sharing our healing with others. And it became this crazy kind of group healing experience. And the last almost 2 years have been absolutely incredible. Obviously, there's been some massive shifts due to the pandemic and what we're able to do in person. But then we started our podcast, which is how we know you. So,
because once we were in our new space on this lady's property, we were diving more into doing sister circles and our guided meditations and sound healings, and something that was constantly coming up for us as we were chatting with people that were coming out to our events is that they were dealing with something that they thought nobody else had ever dealt with. They felt like their experiences were like they were embarrassed or felt shame about them and felt like they couldn't talk about it to anyone and they were completely alone in their journey. And we kept seeing people with such similar stories or something so in common that they each felt so alone in dealing with come up time and time again. And so that was kind of one of the reasons behind our podcast and us wanting to start it, is just so that it's a platform for people to come on and share their personal stories, to share their moments where they knew everything had to change in life and where they went from there, to show the messy middle of a wellness journey instead of the Instagram version of I was here to look how incredible my life is now with none of that messy middle. Just a place for people to share and for our listeners to know that whatever they're going through in life, they're not alone. There's somebody out there that has gone through something similar or has experienced, you know, something similar where they can relate.
And then also just that healing can feel gross and uncomfortable and it can suck and you don't look pretty and it's not always flowy.
And you're not doing it wrong if that's the case.
Because for us, when we were, I know that when I went through the trauma that I went through, I looked at it and I was like, this is gross and uncomfortable and I feel horrible. And all the images that I was being presented with are like, oh, well, this is what healing is supposed to look like. And it's, you know, strolls down a beach with all of your girlfriends and it's, you know, silent yoga retreats, like nestled beautifully in the mountains. And while those things are all beautiful, that wasn't my experience. I was like, I'm crying and snotting and I'm I am not sleeping and I'm sad and all of these things. And so we just have really wanted to showcase how healing and how wellness can be hard in the middle. And it's not, you're not messing it up.
Yeah. You're not doing it wrong. Your journey isn't going to be any less beautiful than anyone else's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So basically, that's our story.
Yeah, I think it's so beautiful that you open up the space and that you're really focused on showing how different healing can look like, and that everyone has a big topic and there's no need to hold back on that topic or no need to be embarrassed, because there will be other people who share the same stories. And I think once you open up with your story and you make yourself vulnerable and open, you immediately give permission to other people to do the same. And that can be so powerful. And suddenly you come from feeling insecure and feeling horrible with yourself in that state of that process where you said it doesn't always look good. Suddenly you feel like-minded people and you feel whole and accepted. And I think what you do really beautiful with your podcast is that every story is accepted and every person is accepted. And I think that's something that so many people struggle with, feeling that acceptance, and because of their story maybe, or because of their current situation. So I'm really wondering, you talked a lot about healing and that you went on that journey together and you're still on that journey, as probably everyone is on that lifelong journey. So I'm wondering, what does healing mean to you? You shortly talked about it, but what aspects do you consider in healing, and how do you heal?
That's interesting, because I think that healing is an evolution. It's a constantly changing, and what it could look like one day could be so different to what it could look like on another day. It's not necessarily linear. For me, it was a lot of processing emotions and acceptance of emotions, and realizing that everything that I'm feeling is valid and is okay. And one of the things that I really struggled with is when people go through something that's hard, people's reaction is to always say, oh, you must be feeling this way. You must be really sad. You must be really scared. You must want to move out of your house. You must feel like this. This must be going on for you. And I found that it didn't leave very much room for me to explore how I was actually feeling, because I had all of these ways in which I was supposed to feel put upon me. And so my healing process really was a lot about exploring how I actually felt about what had happened and what it actually meant to me. And then learning to love myself through that.
That's beautiful. And how is it for you, Amanda?
So many things that Kristen said really resonate. I mean, the healing journey has been one that's been constantly changing, and it looks different every day. And it's one that I will be on for the rest of my life. I'm sure there is no end. But so far, my healing journey has been a lot about allowing my mind to become quiet, to become comfortable sitting in the stillness with myself and with the thoughts and feelings and emotions that come up in that silence. And it's been a lot of kind of peeking into those shadows and those things that I've stuffed down over the years, even, you know, since I was a child, and bringing them up and shining some light on them and allowing myself to look at them and re-explore them as an adult. And honestly, for me, I think a really big part and a huge kind of like transformational point in my journey was starting to become more vulnerable. And even just that first step of really kind of welcoming Kristen into my healing journey and sharing so much with her. It's not something I ever really did before. It was definitely the smile on the outside, you know, everything's great, regardless of how I was feeling on the inside. So for me, that was a really big step, And that really opened the door to a lot of healing for me.
Yeah, that is so powerful. And I'm talking the second time already to you today. Last time I was on your podcast, today you're on my podcast. And both times I really could see that you're so in tune with each other, that you're really synchronized and you know each other really well. And you have been very vulnerable with each other, as you already said before. So I'm wondering, like, was there a fear of letting someone so close to you? And how did you manage to open up? Because I know, myself included, it can be very scary to let someone, if it's a friend or a partner or family member, whoever it is, so close and into your life, and sharing all these moments, also maybe bad or painful stories or things. How was that for you? How did you manage to be so vulnerable and open up for each other?
It was a difficult kind of first step to take, I think, for myself, that kind of fear of being vulnerable and of letting someone in so close stemmed from some feelings of like a fear of not being accepted, or, you know, not being enough, kind of exactly as I was going through what I was. But taking that leap and opening myself up and being vulnerable was so powerful for me. And like having Kristen's support through everything I've gone through and continue to experience in life, like, I can't even express how powerful and supportive that's been for me, to have somebody that, no matter what, like, shittiest day ever, you know, who knows what's happening in life. And I know that I can call her and be like, okay, this ridiculous, awful, embarrassing, whatever things happen, like, oh my God, how do I process this? Where the heck do I go from here? Like, I know I have somebody that's always zero judgment and is there for me no matter what I need.
And honestly, I didn't give her much of a choice.
A little nudge at the beginning.
I was like, well, I'm here now and this is what we're doing. And yeah, I don't know. For me, I really, kind of the biggest lesson of my life has been learning to listen to my intuition and to my heart, and to really, to get spiritual, to really listen to those messages from the universe. And there was just so many weird things that came together that I was like, okay, we're supposed to be doing this together. We're supposed to be on this journey. We're supposed to do it together. Like, let's do it. Yeah. Sometimes forcefully, but
yeah, isn't it crazy? You already said before that this woman just showed up who offered you the space. And I always find it so amazing when you open yourself up for new opportunities, and they come. And when you also manifest something, when you're looking out for things and put your focus on different things, the people, the opportunities, the jobs, whatever it is, it will show up. And I think you're such a good example of that, that you found each other, but then also the space just showed up and the people showed up and you created this beautiful project and the podcast and everything together. So basically everything fell into place like it was supposed to.
Yes.
One thing, it's really been
a lesson in surrendering. Just saying, maybe I don't have full control. Come on, universe, what would you like me to do? And I'll do it.
Is there any other advice how people can create the surrendering? Because I think especially in these times now, it's such a human instinct, wanting to control everything, and obviously also the situation right now, which is not controllable, and we cannot even see what's happening next week. We cannot see what's even happening this whole year. And I think this is what a lot of people, especially now, are suffering from, that their life seems so out of control and they feel so helpless in their situations of everything that has happened. What is your best advice to everyone to surrender and trust in the universe that the right things will show up and to regain that confidence in yourself, but also in the world.
I think a huge thing for me is I'm a Virgo. I like things how I like them. Yeah. But I just looked at my life and thought, how's this working for me? Like, is it? Am I where I want to be? And it was hard. It was baby steps. Mm-hmm. But Amanda and I have said this so many times that if we had made a plan, if we had made a really organized list of all the things that we were going to accomplish, we would never have been able to imagine the beauty that is our lives now.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah. By surrendering, the universe has given us already something way more beautiful and incredible than we could have sat down and dreamed up in a planning or a strategy session or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think for me, since especially kind of the beginning of the pandemic, I definitely felt that initial, that feeling of a loss of control, but kind of sitting back and realizing that in reality, I never had that control to begin with anyways. It was never there. I couldn't control how a day was going to go or the week or the month or the year. It was just suddenly so much more apparent and kind of in your face, that lack of control. So for me, kind of beginning to realize and accept that it was just a mirage to begin with helped for me to begin to let go and to really surrender into that and to just bring myself back to the present moment, to where I was right then in that moment.
Yeah.
And to kind of go from there.
Yeah. And I would say, honestly, the universe has such a bigger, more beautiful, more powerful plan for you than you can imagine. And if you need to write that on a post-it note, write it on a post-it note. If you need to repeat it 20 times a day, repeat it 20 times a day. But like, that's so strongly been our experience. So if you can just take a deep breath and go on faith one step at a time, then.
Yeah, I think this situation right now with the pandemic really teaches us to surrender and really letting go of wanting to control everything. It's such a interesting time to really dive deeper with that. And I think basically what you also just said, when you feel safe and when you feel good with yourself and when you trust in the universe, and I think trusting in the universe automatically implicates that you trust in yourself, because it's all connected, you know? And I think when you trust your inner voice, when you trust the voice of the universe that everything will be okay, there cannot be fear anymore, because you know inside of yourself that everything is already okay and you're safe. And I remember I didn't have that in my past. And when I was sometimes traveling, for example, and I got into a lot of quite sketchy situations traveling all over the world with my backpack and doing crazy stuff, I often had the feeling of being so lost and being so unsafe and really having a panic almost. And now that doesn't happen to me anymore, because I surrender and I trust in myself and I trust that the universe will guide me. And this is such a beautiful feeling. And I think it really takes away the fear, and it really lets you also discover yourself more, because you start to listen even more to that voice inside of yourself. And I mean, as you're really into meditation and Reiki and all these healing modalities, I call it now, I'm sure you're also very familiar to your intuition, to your inner voices.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really curious. You said in the beginning that you started meditating with horses, and that is something that I have never heard before in my life. So how can we imagine a meditation with a horse?
Oh, well, the really interesting thing about horses in particular is that they're incredibly sensitive to our energy, like incredibly sensitive to our energy. They're a flight animal and we're a predator. And so it's tricky for them to fully trust in us. And to work with horses, you've got to have a really decent trust in yourself, mm-hmm. And an ability to calm your own mind. And through meditation, we are actually able to kind of switch our brain waves so they're not in that predatory energy.
Yeah.
And so it's very beautiful to kind of witness horses then, especially because mine are rescues. So they've come from like difficult situations, mm-hmm. and they have this, all of a sudden, this ability to relax around humans and to fully relax. So we experience them laying down, going to sleep, which is not something that they would, you know,
yeah, normally come up and do with a group of people sitting there.
Yeah.
Mm, wow. So how can I imagine a session? They're just with you and you are on the horseback, or how does it actually physically work?
So we are just, so when we've done, it's not really something that we offer kind of to the public, but mm-hmm. it's part of our personal practice. We're just sitting in their area. So where they can come and go freely, and we're just sitting there and basically holding space with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's interesting, you know, after a few minutes in meditation, you can start to hear them coming closer and closer. And the deeper you get into your meditation and into that kind of different brain waves where you're in that deep relaxation in that kind of safe space for them, and you've lowered your energy some, then you can notice them start to get more and more relaxed. And then, mm-hmm. and then all of a sudden somebody's laying down kind of close to you.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. If I wouldn't have the horse allergy, I would try it. So I know a lot of people who say, I should meditate. It sounds so good when you tell me about it. I always hear these amazing things from meditation, but I just cannot sit down and sit quietly, or I do not have the time. Or what helped you to start meditating, and what would you tell a person like this who has somehow an obstacle to start meditating?
Mm-hmm. This is one of our specialties.
It sure is. So one of the things that I would definitely mention is that you need to start really small. So your goal or your desire might be to sit down and meditate for 20 minutes a day. But if you don't already have a meditation practice, that's a big jump from 0 minutes to 20. So if you feel like you don't have the time, but it's something you would like to start incorporating into your life, you could even choose to set aside and start with 2 minutes. And if you take those 2 minutes to focus on your breathing, to take some deep breaths, maybe put on some relaxing music, those 2 minutes, if you can start to make that a part of your day and your routine, then over time, you can start to build it up a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then a lot of times what people find, a lot of the roadblocks towards meditation are people are kind of scared what their mind is going mm-hmm. to say to them when they sit quietly. And that's completely understandable. Mm-hmm. A lot of the times, what I can kind of recommend is initially, when these thoughts pop up, journal them down. We need to get them out. We need to get they're wanting to come out. So journal them down. Give them that space, hold that space for those emotions. And then you can start to kind of let them go when they're not quite so loud. But yeah, starting really, really small, setting aside that time, not beating yourself up. So many people, that's what we are meditation teachers. And so we would teach these classes and people would beat themselves up. Mm-hmm. Oh, I wasn't even able to meditate today. I didn't, you know, and they'd be giving themselves such a hard time. Meditation is an act of self-compassion. It's an act of self-love. It's not, we shouldn't be beating ourselves up for it.
And it's a practice, and your meditation experience is going to be different on different days. So some days your mind might be more active, other days it might be happy to quiet down and to relax. Some days your body might need to move around, and all of that's all completely fine. That's all part of your practice and your experience. And just remembering to be compassionate with yourself, whatever your experience is in that time.
Yeah. I think it's such an important message not to beat yourself up for this, because I think it's so tempting to say, oh, maybe I do it wrong, or what if I keep on thinking and I cannot shut off my thoughts, but then you hate yourself more for this, and that makes it obviously worse. So that doesn't help at all. But then seeing it as a practice, you know, maybe in the beginning that happens, and then saying that it's completely okay, but maybe at one day I do not have the running thoughts anymore, and maybe they will come, maybe bad thoughts will come up, and that's okay too, accepting whatever comes up. I think this is such an important factor for feeling good and even daring to start as well, and not having all this fear around it. You were also saying that maybe bad feelings can come up, and it's good to journal them and sticking with these bad feelings. And we're also earlier talking about recognizing when bad feelings or moods come up, or bad days. I'm always wondering, as for myself, when I'm in, have a really bad day and I feel like I'm moving through something, I always wonder if I should embrace this feeling and go through it in order to resolve it, or if I should let it go and move into the good feeling. And I always wonder if I'm doing the second version, if I'm moving immediately into the good version, which is obviously feels better. And it's nice to be able to switch it so fast, but sometimes I'm feeling like I'm bypassing the bad feelings. You know what I mean? So what is your approach to that? Do you have any practice about this, or any experience with this kind of dealing with the feelings?
Well, we're pretty loudly outspoken against the whole movement of good vibes only. I don't know if that's something that that has translated, but there's a really big movement, or hopefully we're getting through it, where people are like, good vibes only, like positive feelings only. And that definitely bypasses all of our negative feelings. It's really important that we give time and space to our negative feelings, because pushing them down, never giving them space, never letting them see the light of day, I don't think works out very well in the long run for anyone. I think it's important, and this is kind of what we talk a lot about in our meditations and our classes, is that it's important to acknowledge these emotions, these difficult things, to give them time and space, kind of asking them where they want to go. What is the purpose of them? Mm-hmm. Because some of our bad feelings, they pop up as a way to warn us. Some of them pop up because they're undealt with. But it's important to not attach to them, to kind of look at them objectively, which for us is a huge part of our meditation practice, is the ability to kind of look at things and our bigger emotions from a more objective perspective.
Yeah. And if you're able to kind of maintain that objective or observer perspective of these big emotions, it sort of allows you that distance to look at them, to see perhaps where they've stemmed from and how you need to move through that emotion and to process it in the moment. So it might be sitting in meditation and just experiencing the emotion, allowing it to rise up within you and then to start to fade away. Or it might be journaling or going for, you know, a walk out in nature and kind of grounding yourself, whatever you might need in that moment to experience the emotion, to allow it to, like Kristen said, bring any message it has with it, and for you to process it and then to release it, kind of once you feel like you've moved through that process, instead of, you know, wanting to take the momentarily more pleasant route of just switching to the positive. Because if we don't deal with these emotions and we stuff them down, they do come out eventually.
I do have a problem as well with the good vibes only, because no person on earth can only have good vibes only. And then that's where we get to all this Instagram culture where there are only good vibes, we're always happy and so on. And this puts also so much pressure on other people thinking that this is the ideal, and wondering and then feeling guilt and shame why you're not experiencing the good vibes only. So I'm also not a big fan of that. And I do believe that negative, let's call them, they're not even negative, but like painful feelings are very important. But on the other hand, I also do see a danger of indulging in them and not finding the right time to actually move out of them and move further, but just like sinking in and getting stuck maybe in a negative emotion. And I know that a lot of people also have these kind of trauma or negative emotions to save themselves from something, because when your mechanism works like this, that you always have some sort of feeling because that it's a protection or a signal, as you said, a sign to show you something. So maybe sometimes the negative feelings are also there to protect us from something. That's why people sometimes don't even get out of this anymore. And there I see a danger when you indulge too much, that you miss the step of actually feeling good again and moving through it instead of just getting stuck there. Mm-hmm. I think it's a thin line.
Yeah. And it's important to recognize when you can deal with your own negative feelings and when it might be a good time to look for some help and, mm-hmm. and say like, hey, I actually need, you know, even like Amanda and I did, we're in our own healing, we're in our own feelings, we're in our own trauma. And then we had a moment where we're like, okay, I need some outside perspective because mm-hmm. I maybe am stuck a little too hard in my feelings. So there are definitely times in life when we might need to look mm-hmm. for an outside perspective or some help outside of ourselves.
Yeah.
This is so important you mentioned that, because I think there might be boundaries sometimes thinking, because it's so stigmatized also, not so much anymore, but it used to, searching help with a therapist or even doing alternative healing sessions. I think there's still that stigma around it, but slowly we're moving in a better direction. And I think it's so completely fine. And it's even wonderful to ask for help, because we as a collective, we have these different abilities and also these healer qualities, which other people have to help each other. So yes. I think it's so important to stress again that, thank you for sharing this, that it's so completely okay and wonderful to search help when you feel like now the time has come that it would get you out of the trauma or situation.
Yeah. So, and even in the spiritual community, there can be some stigma around, like, if you're very spiritual, and we've talked about this a lot on our podcast, but if you're a spiritual person and you're involved in alternative modalities, there can be a stigma about asking for help from a therapist. And whatever is helping you is great, is welcome.
Yeah. So you, in your collective wellness at the farm, you offer a lot of different things. You also offer Reiki, if that's right. So do you want to share quickly what Reiki is and what you offer there?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Summon up Reiki. All right.
So Reiki is an alternative healing modality. It's an energy healing technique. It's an ancient Japanese healing modality that uses, it can either be completely no touch, or sometimes a practitioner will lightly lay their hands on you. It's completely non-invasive. And it works with the energies and the chakras within our own body, to put it really simply,
helping to get energy flowing again where it may be stuck, to release some blockages and to kind of bring our bodies back into alignment.
And it's been a really beautiful kind of healing modality for us in our own healing as well. And something that we have been offering within our community. It's been a little bit difficult with COVID, just because we're not allowed to kind of practice in person. There is kind of a distance aspect to Reiki as well. So you can kind of give Reiki healing without being in the presence of the person that you're healing or working with. For us, it's not been our biggest focus over the last little bit, because like you say, that we offer a lot of things and we've had to kind of focus,
but it's been a really beautiful part of our own healing journey, like Kristen said, and it's something that we've both used a lot with our herds of horses as well. And it's been a really beautiful part of their healing journey as well.
Yeah. So we're huge advocates. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I love that you also do so many different things at the same time. I can relate so much. I have so many interests and I feel like I need to do everything. And this is super beautiful. But as you say, you cannot have to focus on everything at the same energy level at the same time. And, but I'm sure once the situation with the pandemic has slowed a little bit down, then you hopefully be able to practice Reiki again. Yeah. So what's the best place for people to check out your podcast, find out more about you and Wellness on the Farm, to see all the stuff that you're doing? Where can people find you?
Well, we have a website. So it's wellnessonthefarm.ca. Mm-hmm. So that's easy to find us because that has everything that we kind of do on the website. Mm-hmm. We're also on Instagram as Wellness on the Farm and on Facebook as Wellness on the Farm too.
Yeah. And our podcast is The Struggle Is Real. And we're on like all the podcast places.
Yeah. We're on most of that. We're on all of the platforms. So yeah. We'll definitely, and you'll see like our smiling faces on the cover art. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yay, beautiful. I will link to all of this in the show notes, obviously, so people can find it. Is there anything that we didn't get to speak about which you would like to share before we go?
Oh, I think we covered so much.
We covered a lot.
I think it's just important for us to say that we really and truly believe that wellness and spirituality should be a judgment-free zone, and that mm-hmm. no one wins when we gatekeep wellness and spirituality.
No,
it's important for that everyone should have the access that they need to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is such an important and beautiful message. So thank you so much for all the work that you do and that you put out there and your beautiful podcast. And yeah, thank you so much for being here as well in my podcast and all the knowledge that you've shared with me.
Oh, thank you so much. It was wonderful to chat with you again.